Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I'm Bex and welcome to the Week Junior Show. Today I'm joined by three of the team from the Week Junior, the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14 year olds. This week we've got features editor Ben plus writers Eve and James. All right then, Ben, tell me, what is going on in this week's new issue?
Oh, it's been a very busy week, Bex, I don't mind telling you. We've got Summer of Reading on the cover. We'll talk more about that later. We've got features on how to build better friendships. And I think all of us could make good use of that. Even if you've got fantastic friends, making those friendships stronger is always a good idea. The game Fall Guys, it's gone free. You can play that on pretty much every game's console now. It was only on PlayStation, and you can play against friends on other consoles, so that's good. We've got a boy who pooed in a display toilet at a DIY shop. He just saw the toilets there, didn't know that they weren't connected to the plumbing, and just did a poo. His dad had to take out the poo. BTS, they're taking a break, and we've got 27 hoglets. That's baby hedgehogs, hoglets. I didn't even know that's what they were called. 27 of them being born in 1 week at a wildlife park. It is beyond cute. We've had things going on in the office as well, because on Wednesday we had the winners of our annual food writing competition that we run with the Guild of Food Writers. So we had a couple of very talented young writers come in who won that competition before they went off to their awards ceremony with the Guild. And it just goes to show that everyone's got this creative outlet, even if they haven't found it yet. And maybe for those people, it was writing about food that's what really kind of sparked their imagination. And for us, the big news of the week that we've only just found out is that the Week Junior has won Children's Magazine of the Year at the PPA Awards. And the PPA Awards are the most prestigious and important awards in magazines. So for us to win this, it's like if you make a film and it won Oscar for Best Film, for us winning the PPA Award for Best Children's Magazine is a huge, huge honour.
Hey, that's amazing. Congratulations. Yeah, you guys in the office must be well chuffed with that. I should also say, from our point of view, Ben, this podcast has been nominated for Best Current Affairs Podcast, up against some pretty heavy hitters, at the British Podcast Awards. So I think we can celebrate the Week Junior all round, right?
Yeah, and I think what we're going to have to do is just build a very big trophy cabinet for all these awards that we keep winning. So thank you to everybody who reads the magazine, everybody who listens to the podcast, everyone who sends in any of their comments. We absolutely love it, and you're a big part of this success. It's not just the people that you read in the magazine or hear on the podcast.
Absolutely. All right, thanks, Ben. If you want to know more about the Week Junior, ask a grown-up to go to theweekjunior.co.uk/podcast and use the code podcast to sign up for a 6-week free trial. So on to this week's episode of the Week Junior Show. We're going to be finding out about the arguments surrounding some flights to Rwanda, an innovative plan to cool down the Spanish capital, and what goes on at the world's most famous tennis tournament. Plus, we'll have a debate all about whether CBBC should be moved from live TV. But before all of that, given that we'll be talking about the Wimbledon tennis tournament, I want to know, what is your favourite thing about it? Ben, you can go first.
For me, it feels like it kicks off summer. And I remember when I was in school, I would love getting home from school and turning on the TV, because the tennis would have been going on all day. And turning it on, bright, sunny skies, the beautiful green stadium and the court. It just felt like this is summer. It's all happening now and we can start having fun.
All right. OK, wow, that's very poetic. Eve, how about you?
I love Henman Hill, or also known as Murray Mound. Just that little mound of grass where, named after either Andy Murray or British tennis player Tim Henman as well. And people just sit there, have a picnic and look on the big screens to watch tennis being played. And it just, the atmosphere is great.
Have you been there yourself?
I actually haven't, but it looks great, although I probably should go there because I'm kind of banned from watching Wimbledon at home because I once sat on the remote on Andy Murray's match point and we didn't see him win Wimbledon for the first time ever. So,
yeah, no remote controls on Henman Hill, fingers crossed. And James, how about you?
Well, I'd have to go for strawberries and cream, which is the food that is, for some reason, traditional to eat at Wimbledon. In fact, I have a theory that no one who goes to Wimbledon actually likes tennis at all. I think they all just go and pretend to enjoy it, so they have an excuse to eat this delicious strawberries and cream. I have no evidence for this, but I've got a hunch.
I'm not going to lie to you all. I don't really follow tennis, and I'm not that bothered about Wimbledon. I'm going to say it. I'm going to put it out there. But I do quite like how British it is and how it kind of inspires people to queue as if it's an Olympic sport in itself. I've seen queues and queues of people desperate to get in. So it's probably weird, but I'm going to say my favourite thing about Wimbledon is the queuing. Right now, it's time for Real or Rubbish. Now, Ben, this is your final ever episode of the Week Junior Show, so I'm hoping you've got a good one for me.
I think I do, and you may not be a fan of tennis, but I'm going to put football on your radar right now. And I'm going to struggle to pronounce a couple of these football teams, but I'm going to go for it. So a football team called Nasami Mighty Birds, they've been banned from the South African Football League because they've been scoring too many own goals. Specifically, they scored 41 own goals in a match against Matasi FC. Now, Nasami Mighty Birds lost the match 59-1. And Nasami Mighty Birds were not a bad team. They were third in the league table at the time, but they managed to end the game with only seven players because they had four sent off by the referee. It's obviously a strange result, and it happened after the teams agreed to get a huge score so that Matasi could finish ahead of a team called Shivalani Dangerous Tigers. So, what do you think? Was the club banned for scoring too many own goals, or are we putting one in our own net?
Oh, nice. So you're saying to me that this team had agreed with the other team to have lots of goals in the match.
Yeah.
And the way of doing that, supposedly, was they purposely scored lots of own goals.
Yes, specifically 41 own goals in one match, yes.
But if you wanted to score lots of goals, why wouldn't you just score lots of goals? Why wouldn't you just, you know, you could say, right, okay, well, we'll score 40 actual goals as long as you score 41 or 42. Why would you make them own goals? That's my concern here.
You would have to run that past the Mighty Birds manager, I would say.
I do love these names. Not so mighty, these birds, if they're letting in that many own goals. I can understand, though, the people organising the tournament being annoyed by it, because it kind of makes a mockery of the tournament, right?
Yeah. I mean, it does kind of ruin things. I mean, it'd be interesting if you turned on the TV to watch a match in the Women's Euros that start in a couple of weeks, and someone scored 41 own goals. You might think, I don't know if I can take this tournament seriously.
Yeah.
So.
But also, I'm just thinking now, maybe you are tricking me. Maybe it was 41 actual goals. And maybe they haven't been disqualified. Maybe they've been lauded as the best new football team. Maybe you've turned this on its head. Maybe you're trying to trick me, Ben, in your last ever show.
I mean, that sounds like the sort of thing that I would do. And I had a hunch that you did not follow the South African Football League and that you would not know the result. So I thought it would be a tricky one for you. You wouldn't be able to rely on existing knowledge.
Exactly. No, I have no idea. You've turned me every which way with this one. So I don't really know the answer. I genuinely have to have a think about this. And if you don't know either, don't you worry. We can find out together at the end of the show. So now it's time for our three most interesting stories from this week. James, what do you have for me?
Well, earlier this year, the UK government made a deal with the African country Rwanda. And the deal was all about something called asylum seekers. So these are people who flee their home country because they feel unsafe. They're looking for protection in another country. And the government's plan was to send people who are coming into the UK in ways that aren't permitted to Rwanda. And they said that this would stop people making dangerous journeys coming over the channel in small boats. But lots and lots of human rights organisations and charities have condemned the plan. People have said it's really cruel. And the first flight was due to take off on the 14th of June, but it was cancelled at the very last minute.
All right, so why was the flight stopped?
Well, the number of people on the flight had actually already been reduced from 37 to 7 because there were lots of different legal cases against it in the UK. But the final cancellation was due to a ruling from the European Court of Human Rights. So they said that the flight couldn't go ahead until they decided whether it was lawful. So there's going to be a legal review next month that's going to decide whether this can actually happen.
All right. Thanks very much, James. Next up, Ben, what do you have for us?
Well, I'm going to take you to Madrid, the capital of Spain, because the local authorities there have revealed plans to build an amazing new park that they say could lower temperatures by as much as 4 degrees. Now, the park's going to include a garden that contains these tall spiral structures that they will cover in green plants such as ferns and mosses. And they say these will capture breezes, cool the breezes down, and cause them to move around the park. There's also going to be avenues of trees which will create shady areas, and they're going to put in systems that water the plants to help cool down the park. So they say, as the park and garden create cooler air, this should lower the temperature of the nearby streets as well. What's amazing, this sounds like, oh, this is incredible futuristic science to be able to do this. Not so, because it's been inspired by techniques used in ancient Middle Eastern countries where they would have things that would make it so that cool air would be redirected into homes. One of the designers of this new park has said that the park will be like an urban forest and an air conditioning unit.
Wow, the spirals sound a bit like a kind of real or rubbish story here. So what's brought this on? Has Madrid been getting hotter?
Yeah, it has been getting quite a bit hotter. The rising temperatures there are thought to be because of global warming. That's the long-term changes in world weather patterns, mostly caused by human activity. Spain this year has had one of its earliest heat waves in more than 40 years. And on 15th of June, the temperatures in Madrid went over 40 degrees, which is super, super hot, obviously. Other Spanish cities are now making plans to lower temperatures. In Malaga, they hope to build water fountains and create more green and shady areas, for example. So people are having to find ways of living with these hotter temperatures.
All right, thanks very much, Ben. Now, Eve, what story do you have this week?
So on the 27th of June, next week, the 2022 Wimbledon Championships are starting. So this is one of the four most important tennis tournaments in the world. They're known as Grand Slams. There's also the US Open, the Australian Open and the French Open. And so this takes place in southwest London. And it's actually 145 years since the tournament first started in 1877. So when it first started, it was played with wooden rackets and hand-sewn balls. And it started off with men's singles, and then in 1884, a women's tournament was added as well. And it was originally for amateurs. No prize money was awarded, and anyone could enter who had an interest. But in 1968, it was finally allowed for professional players to play. And something I often associate with Wimbledon is ball boys and ball girls. They're apparently also known as BBGs. And there's usually around 250 of them working at Wimbledon. And so their job is to collect tennis balls and then give new ones to the players. And more than 54,000 tennis balls are used during the two-week tournament every year, which is insane. And the BBGs are narrowed down from 1,000 applicants from local schools, and then they train from February to June to do their very important job.
Wow, did not know they had to train so much for it. That's amazing. So you seem to know a lot about Wimbledon, Eve. Tell me, why do tennis players at Wimbledon always wear white?
Well, when the tournament actually began, sweat stains were seen as improper and unsightly. So the dress code became white to make the sweat as invisible as possible. And they've kept it going all this time, and it's still a very strict rule.
Oh, great. You answered my question perfectly. Thank you so much. And now, as well as reading more about these stories in the Week Junior, you can also read a review of Fight Back, a hopeful and empowering story showing how young people can stand together for what they believe in. It's written by A.M. Dasu, and here she is to tell us a little bit more.
Hi there, listeners of the Week Junior show. My name is A.M. Dasu, author of Fight Back, which has been selected as Book of the Week in the current issue of the magazine. And I'm here to answer two very important questions. Firstly, do I like Marmite? Yikes, no! Secondly, What was my favourite book growing up? Well, whenever I'm asked what my favourite book as a child was, I can only ever remember the picture book, Where's Spot? I really loved it and read it till I was way too old for it. I even had a Spot the Dog soft toy. Then, as I got older, I loved Funny Bones. Remember that? In a dark, dark street, in a dark, dark house. And then I also loved The Jolly Postman with all those wonderful, clever pull-out letters. And then there's this really huge gap where I can't remember any books that I read until I got to secondary school. And one of my favourites was Brave New World. So that's me. And thanks so much for having me as your book of the week.
So speaking of books, it's going to be a pretty brilliant summer for losing yourself in one of them. Ben, can you tell me what is going on with the Week Junior's Summer of Reading campaign for 2022?
Yeah, this is one of my favourite things that we do each year. So we've put together a list of 50 books. We had Book Trust help us to do that. They're on different themes, things like amazing animals, explore outer space, real world inspiration, all sorts of things. You'll be guaranteed to find something you love on that list of 50 books. You don't have to choose those books. These are just suggestions. These are just some of our favorites. So you probably already know the type of books you enjoy, but taking a look at that list, you might end up picking something you wouldn't normally choose, which is good because these have all got the Week Junior seal of approval. So we want you to read 3 books, just read them and then rate and review them. You can download a form at thewikjunior.co.uk/summer of reading. You just need to give each book that you've read a rating out of 3 stars and describe it in 3 words. And you can win stuff. This isn't just like super fun reading and, you know, talk to your friends about the books that you've read. 4 winners will have their entries picked out at random and we'll get a Bookily card from National Book Tokens. It'll be loaded up with £10 every month. So for 6 months, you can go and spend £10 each month in a bookshop, which is brilliant. If you win the top prize, you get a book bundle worth £250. So I think that is motivation enough. Get yourself a massive pile of books. So hopefully loads of you listening to this will want to enter and will end up reading books, going through some adventures that you might not have done if we hadn't suggested it, and maybe sharing ideas with your friends, swapping books with your friends, reading books that you wouldn't have normally looked at, and just expanding your horizons. Summer is just such a great time for reading.
Wow, some great prizes there. Thank you very much, Ben. If I could enter, I definitely would. So it's time for the big debate. This week we're asking whether CBBC should be moved from live TV. Ben, do you have the story for me?
Yeah, I do. So CBBC, which launched in 2002 as a free channel showing programmes for people aged between 6 and 17, looks like it is going to be online only. The change isn't going to happen for at least another 3 years, but this is what the BBC plans to do, and it's happening because the BBC needs to cut costs because of changes to the annual license fee, which is what grown-ups have to pay to fund the BBC. And it's generated a lot of discussion because CBBC is a very important thing for young people across the UK. When the government announced in January that the cost of a TV license, which is where, like I say, they get most of their money, they decided it will not go up for 2 years, which means that's less money going to the BBC. And something has got to give if they don't have enough money. So what do you think? Is having a CBBC TV channel a bit old-fashioned, or is it too special to lose?
Oh, interesting. OK, this is going to be Eve versus James. First up, we have got Eve saying why it should be moved from live TV. So Eve, whenever you're ready, take it away.
So viewing figures for CBBC have actually been falling recently because of streaming services available such as Netflix, Disney Plus and iPlayer. And so, you know, it makes sense if the viewership's been falling, time to move it online as a streaming service on iPlayer like the other ones that people watch. And then also it will help save the BBC money so that they can fund more essential channels like BBC One. And, you know, the money could go towards the news or something a bit more exciting like the Great British Sewing Bee or something to make those even higher quality shows. And also, just because it's going online, it doesn't mean the quality of the programmes will change. They're still going to make good TV shows and people could just watch them online instead. But also, I guess a great benefit is that if it's online, you're not going to miss the first 5 minutes because you're home late from school. You can press play whenever you like if it's online. And I think that is a great benefit.
All right then. Okay, so that was Eve's argument. James, whenever you're ready, you can argue against her. Take it away.
Well, first of all, even if the programmes are the same, there's something special about live TV. Well, first of all, even if it makes the same programmes, live TV just has something special about it. It brings everyone together at the same time around the same shows. And going online doesn't work. That's been shown recently by BBC Three. So that went online a few years ago, but it's been brought back to live TV this year. So that shows young people still want to watch live TV. Families are going to end up having to pay for American children's channels like Disney Channel or Nickelodeon. And what about those families who don't have access to the internet or streaming? During lockdown, BBC provided a lifeline for those families, broadcasting educational programmes for people who couldn't access online lessons. And finally, maybe importantly, it's so unfair for adults to get free live TV channels and not kids. So I think BBC should definitely stay on live TV.
Oh, some good arguments there. Ben, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm torn on this because at first, when I saw this news, I thought, no, that's absolutely terrible. You want to be able to put on the TV and just watch normal live TV, like as James says, like the grown-ups do. But I do think more and more people obviously are wanting to watch things when they choose and stream them. So I think it's going to be fine if it's moved from live TV, because I think fewer and fewer people will be watching live TV. In the same way they listen to this podcast whenever they want, I think they'll just end up watching CBBC whenever they want.
I quite like the idea of live TV, I have to say. And, you know, if people can't afford to have Disney and Netflix, it's pretty good to have CBBC. But there we go. Listeners, let us know what you think by responding to the poll right now at theweekjunior.co.uk/polls or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk with a video clip explaining which side of the debate you support and why. So last week we asked if rich countries should do more to help refugees. A massive 82% of you thought wealthier countries should offer more help to people fleeing wars.
Yeah, it was very one-sided on PopJamBex. One user told us, yes, because poor countries are already doing what they can to help, but rich countries have so many more ways to support the refugees.
Another user agreed, saying, yes, because poor countries are already helping as much as they can with refugees, and the extra help from richer countries could make a lot of difference.
Finally, one PopJam user told us, yes, poor countries are doing all they can to help with the limited money they have. Rich countries like ours should step in and do their part.
So remember, get involved. Grab a grown-up, record a video telling us what you reckon of this week's debate, then send it in to us at hello@theweekjunior.co.uk and we could play it out on next week's show. Your voice will be here in the podcast. So before we go, it's time to reveal our real or rubbish story. Okay, Ben, remind me what it was, please.
So Matiasi FC beat Nasami Mighty Birds 59-1 in the South African Football League, and the Nasami Mighty Birds are being banned because they scored 41 own goals in that match.
I genuinely don't really know about this. I feel like 41 own goals, obviously they've done on purpose to make sure there's more goals, but I just think if you were meant to score more goals or have more goals happen, you would score them for your own team. So I'm going to say the story this week is rubbish.
Drumroll, please. Oh, Bex, it's real.
No!
The team really did score 41 own goals and were banned. But it didn't end there. Shivalani Dangerous Tigers and Matiasi FC were also kicked out of the league. Shivalani ended the season with a 33-1 win over another banned team, Kotoko Happy Boys. So because those two results were clearly arranged by the four teams involved, all four teams have been banned. So the team that finished below those has ended up winning the league.
No, that's amazing. Wow. I mean, I bet you're thrilled for your last one, Ben, that you pulled the wool over my eyes.
I felt under a lot of pressure. People in the office were saying to me, will you be able to fool Bex And you're honestly, people were asking me, will you be able to fool Bex on your last one? And I said, I really hope so. I really hope so. And thankfully I did. I think it's what the listeners wanted.
Yeah, well, yeah, you won that one. Wow, what a way to go. Well, I'm obviously annoyed that I lost it, but I'm happy for you, Ben. And before we go, there's just one more thing we need to tell you. Now available is the Week Junior newsletter. It's an info-packed email for the grown-ups who subscribe to the magazine and who want to know about the highlights of each issue and some behind-the-scenes secrets. If you're a grown-up subscriber, you can sign up right now at thewheatjunior.co.uk/newsletter. That is it for this week's episode of the Week Junior Show. Thank you to Eve and James. And of course, Ben, thank you so much for being here and being such an amazing contributor over the last few weeks and months and years.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm going to keep listening to the podcast.
Yeah, please do. Give us notes. Now, drop us a comment on PopJam at The Week Junior or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk if you want to get in touch. And don't forget to rate, review and subscribe or follow us wherever it is you get your podcasts. Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Week Junior Show, which is made by the same people that make The Week Junior magazine. You can get a free trial of The Week Junior by heading to theweekjunior.co.uk/podcast and using the code PODCAST at checkout.
Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back. And bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.